Happy Monday to you. If you just got out of the sack, good luck to you. We've been up and about for a little while now. A big working week coming your way after a massive sporting weekend. Get involved. 1300 652 927 on The Breakfast Club or 0416 90 50 52. Matty Suckling still to join us from the Western Bulldogs. Looking forward to chatting to him about their win yesterday at the MCG. Sean Graff from Cricket Victoria. Will Sutherland, who made a big choice across the weekend. Cricket over footy. Big call from a young man, but great for cricket. And we'll talk to Sean about that and all the other news in cricket at the moment. The world famous, who does it say more about? The wins on the weekend in the AFL, who does it say more about? Get involved. We'll discuss that with Jim and Whitey shortly. But time to get the latest news with the number one man in news in footy, Mark Stevens from Channel 7.
The Breakfast Club is brought to you by Tab's Bundle Bet Multi. Combine your racing bundle bets with all your favourite sports to create the ultimate multi. Gamble responsibly.
Always good to chat with Steve on a Monday morning because there's plenty that happens across the weekend in footy, and he's back with a big list of topics today. Steve, good morning.
Yeah, morning, Half. Big list of superstar topics.
Superstar topics.
Yeah, old-fashioned footy topics. A couple of the best names in the game. We'll start with Danger.
Talk about Danger.
Well, scans today, it's potential bone bruising on top of the ankle, which you guys would know better than I. It's a tough one to play with, the bone bruising. It can hang around for a while.
Yes.
Even though at times in that last quarter, he was moving. He ran about 200 metres at full tilt with 2 minutes left to get that ball. Extraordinary performance by Danger.
It was.
But he did pull up sore yesterday, couldn't walk on it, and a scan down at Geelong, and I dare say there might be a few media down there, Jimmy, waiting for him.
Yeah, I think all the cameras will be out in the car park and watching him see whether he's hobbling or not, but normally when you have an injury like that in-game, I'm not sure about you, Half, you can sort of play out the game because you're still warm and amped up.
Adrenaline.
The adrenaline's still going.
It's a fantastic thing.
But 24 hours later, you're a lot sorer. You actually go, how do I actually get through the rest of the game? So
that's the danger, absolutely, for Danger. Oh, pardon the pun.
Danger, the danger field.
For Paddy.
But there's controversy surrounding that.
And what's happened?
Let's have a listen to Kane Corns, of course, Port Adelaide, well-connected in Adelaide, to what he says about Danger and the way Danger goes about his injuries.
He does exaggerate injuries.
Oh.
Well, it goes back to...
Hang on. Now we're shooting banter.
No, I'm not.
Fake it till you make it.
In his time at Adelaide, his teammates had to sit him down and say, look, you do carry on a little bit with your injuries.
Oh.
And he does. So I'd be surprised if he missed with that injury yesterday.
Whack.
Some inside knowledge from Adelaide, though.
That's
good feedback.
He's gone strong with that. Jimmy, you were down there with the great man. Hmm. Any signs that Danger sort of put some mayonnaise on the injuries?
Well, no mayo that I saw on top of it. He generally goes hard all the time, flat out. He does get battered around a bit because of the way he plays. But, no, I've never questioned, in my time, I only played a year with him, whether he was hurt or not. We saw he got collected in the ribs earlier this year. Can forgive him for staying down a little bit, couldn't you?
Is that a question?
That's a question to you, Adam.
Mr. White.
I think at times it would appear that there might be a little bit of embellishment going on.
Nah. A little bit of mayonnaise.
I've never seen any from him, and it's hard. It's always hard to question that about a player. Kane must have some very good inside knowledge then from the Crows if he's gone with that.
I think there's plenty of players in the system these days that once they get a bit of a whack, there's a bit of TV time, and they just take some time to recoup and regather themselves and make sure that it's drawn out as much as possible. Possibly more for rest than anything else.
Yeah, well, it used to be the old small forward trick, you know, so you didn't have to chase out.
Yes.
they do the lunging tackle where, well, I'll just stay on my side and watch the play come out, and then all of a sudden the ball's turned over and up they jump. They're in space.
Yes, 6 day break, obviously the issue, Whitey.
Yeah, it's going to be tough to get out. Obviously is really significant, particularly with Rory Sloane. He'll have to go through the hoops during the week after getting concussed. Two of the best players for either team are under an injury. Cloud offer a shorter break.
Ooh. Isn't the answer he just plays full forward?
Well, he can.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, really.
The adrenaline's gone, though, Jimmy.
Yeah, no,
he has to get up again.
He's going to fire it up again.
Does he? He can just play inside 50.
Can I ask about that, though? What Patrick Dangerfield did, now, to football back in the 80s and 90s, that was just sort of regulation sort of stuff, just play deep and get some one-on-ones. Mm. Why doesn't it happen more often? Why did it take for an injury to happen for that sort of football to be played by Geelong?
Well, I think if you played football like it was played in the 80s and perhaps early 90s, where there was, where if you played that deeper role one-on-one, you'd be coming forward to the footy all the time. I think you'd probably be able to do it more often. But the way that forward line setups are these days, where you're pressing up and rolling back, trying to get back into the space, I just don't think it's viable for those type of players too often. Every now and then you can pinch hit and do what Danger did on the weekend. But I don't think the way the game is played allows that to happen too often.
So from a coaching point of view, there was nothing potentially learnt from other AFL coaches, the role that Patrick Dangerfield played on Saturday? They think, maybe we could do that with a player that was 100% fit.
You need more pressure on the ball. So they'd look at it more from a defensive aspect, is that if you don't have pressure on the ball, you allow, you know, the danger fields and that inside 50. Look how dangerous it is. So Hawthorn needed to apply more pressure on the ball. So the kicks coming in weren't to Patrick Dangerfield's advantage. He actually gave, I forget the Hawthorn player who got stuck one-on-one. They tried a few, actually.
There's a few through the roster.
But it looks like it's, you know, their fault, for want of better words. But no pressure on the ball carrier coming through the middle of the ground. You kick it to Dangerfield or any half-decent forward's advantage.
Yeah,
it's going to be very difficult to stop.
I understand what you're saying. We just found it interesting that Dangerfield did what he did. So he had 11 shots at goal in pretty much three quarters. And then when Dustin Martin played forward against Brisbane, every time the ball got kicked down there, you think, well, Dustin's going to mark this, or he's going to at least get a shot at goal. Why it doesn't happen more?
But we're seeing more of that from Dusty this year. And I think Paddy's averaging more than 2 goals a game and 30 disposals as well. The first bloke since Bob Skelton to do it. So it's, I mean, they're pretty remarkable numbers and they're pretty remarkable players. There's not too many that fit the category that could do it.
Yeah. We've just spoken about probably, you know, the two runaway leaders in the Brownlow.
No, I do understand that, but I'm just wondering whether if it could create a different structure for genuine forwards to play the way that
I'm sure Geelong will try it more often now as the year goes on.
I just kept thinking about, well, gee, you put Gary Ablett in that forward line as well next year, and you think Ablett, Hawkins,
That was my big takeaway, is that if people don't see what the danger is for them, if Gary Ablett ends up at Geelong, so Dangerfield and Ablett swapping midfield forward, look out.
Scary.
Well, the Gold Coast playing hardball, we know that now, Steve-o, so that won't happen, move to Geelong.
Jimmy's saying look out. Big day for the MRP again. Look out, Dustin Martin. All over the back page, Michael Gleeson from The Age is giving him a week. Says it was a punch.
What did he say? What was his grading?
He says he's going back to a memo, which was a memo. Or a memo.
A memo.
A memo. About a few weeks back.
He was Acropolis now. He was too.
Memo.
Where
is Effie?
Just the inference that if you punch and punch to the head, you're in trouble. Regardless.
What's a punch and what's a push and what's a prod?
We're waiting for the other angles, Jimmy. And in the MRP, we haven't seen a lot as far as angle-wise.
No, I've only seen the one angle.
You're pretty confident that when you get in there, you'll have every angle covered.
There's a great still in the Herald Sun today in the inside back cover, which shows another angle of the situation, because we've only ever seen that one TV angle, which you're right, Stevo.
Yeah.
I'd be staggered.
Robertson grabs his eyes as well. So if he hasn't been poked in the eye, he has to be... not rubbed out, but fined. But for acting, if that exists.
Oh, Robertson being... Yeah. Well, he put himself in the crosshairs, the MRP, a couple of times yesterday, so he might have another one to answer. We'll see.
But the other issue was, about 2 minutes into the game, Dusty took out Lewis Taylor. Lewis Taylor was on the ground, crouched over. No replays from Fox. Not a single replay, which is extraordinary. Sitting there waiting for an inning down the ground, whether the producer was a Richmond supporter, whether there was a cover-up. It was extraordinary.
The colours are blinding the producers of Fox Footy.
I'm saying I was astounded that we didn't see a replay of that incident, and I'm sure Jimmy will see down the ground of that one as well, because the commentator spoke about it. Lewis Taylor was on the ground. He was in some sort of distress. I assume that Dusty's okay, and I hope he's okay. But not sure what happened to the replay.
I didn't see that one. But the other one, the Nick Robertson one, I have no issue with.
He was
all clear.
Dustin Martin was treading a very fine line yesterday, and he was being harassed by some players that should know better. Because what was the point of poking the bear? Because he had 26 disposals after half time. Yeah. He had 15 clearances for the match. He was so much better than anyone else on the field. It wasn't funny, but I reckon it almost got to the point where Damien had to take him off the field and not put him back on, because he was almost got bored with just dominating the game and wanted something else to worry himself
bored with dominating.
Yeah, but Jimmy, on evidence so far, any worries for Dusty?
Well, I haven't seen the evidence so far.
But just
well,
what you've got
well,
in front
he can't. He can't.
No,
he can't.
And I can answer that. Say no, there's no issues. Play on.
I reckon. I reckon it's 50-50.
I reckon no. Dusty will get off.
Yes.
Because
no issues.
We're just waiting.
What about
on
since
a smoking
the change?
Guns
what about since
vision?
The change of the, well,
since the
interpretation?
The memo.
Michael Gleeson's memo.
Well, it has. The interpretation has changed.
There still has to be.
It is going
force.
To be a test because I think this is a wrong perception. There's a perception in the MRP when it's a big name, Brownlow at stake, that they wobble. Ooh. They wobble a little bit.
Not Jimmy's
I know
boys.
That it's not Jimmy.
Ooh. Not Jimmy's boys.
But the perception is that they wobble for the big names.
That won't happen. Jimmy's a man of great integrity. I back him in all the way there. Now, Nick Robertson, headbutt. I haven't seen a headbutt for a while.
He has to go for that.
Yeah, he'd be good.
It was a low impact, though, wasn't it?
Yeah, but I think it comes into a different category. Was it rough conduct or headbutting?
Yeah, that should be one of Jimmy's non-football.
I can't remember that.
It should be extra weeks.
Absolutely. Yeah. This is the point, and I want to get this at the end of the season, Jim. We need to sit down with the lawmakers, you and I, and get these idiot tax and goose tax chucked on to the MRP table of guidelines, table of offences, because it should just be an automatic week before it even gets it, because it's just non-footy, stupid stuff. Get it out of the game. That's what it should be.
I think that Half is angling for the Lethland job. I think he's got it in him.
We're going to get to that later.
We'll get to that later. We'll get to
that. I think we've got two candidates here.
Who's that?
Jimmy and Half.
No, I've got no interest.
Oh, well, you don't want to
work with
me.
Although 900 a year. Yeah. Oh, 900 a year. That was a good number, wasn't it?
Back up. He was quick to shoot down working with me.
You're going to split it. 450 each.
No, you said two candidates.
I'm backing you.
No chance.
No, me. It was of me.
Well, you enjoyed our coffee after this radio.
I love Monday morning coffee. I'm backing you in, and if it's 900, I'm actually rethinking. Because that's a lot of more. That's a lot of coffees, Jim.
Yeah, it's a lot of coffees for you.
900,000. We'll talk about
that
a little bit later on.
Like a soft cap spin like the clubs?
Apparently not. 20 past 7, Steve-O's with us from Channel 7 with all the latest news from the AFL. There's plenty more to discuss after this on The Breakfast Club on RSN 927.
You've joined The Breakfast Club.
You have, and we're wrapped that you have. 23 past 7 on a Monday morning. Don't forget Michael Felgate from 8:30 with a racing pulse. Mike Simons is part of the verdict today with Matty Stewart. And Peter Volandis, a part of the show as well, to discuss the Melbourne v Sydney spring battle. That is not too far away. But Steve-O's got the latest news with us from the AFL weekend. Bernie Vince?
Brain explosion. Up in Darwin. He's been sort of living on the edge a little bit. In Melbourne, so much talk about the lack of discipline, Half, and I know down at the Demons they're pretty frustrated. A couple of incidents, Richard Douglas had his head down, he ran through him, and then, of course, a little elbow to Eddie Betts. And the issue is, and Jimmy would know this, of course, is a loading for bad record. Two offences in the past 14 months. So he loses his
guilty
right
play.
So it's effectively a week added on, so no guilty plea. So say he gets 1-1 plus 1, so that's 3. It might be 2-1 plus 1, which is 4. He's in a bit of bother.
2-1 plus 1 is 4. Yeah, it's definitely 4. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. So I think he's looking at a minimum of 3 weeks.
Simon Goodwin would be very annoyed by that, wouldn't he? I mean, he's came out in the last couple of weeks and talked about the fact that they don't want to be, this is what they don't want to be seen as, this type of team. They've had a lot of suspension issues this year and some high-profile ones, clearly, with the Thomas Bug one of recent weeks coming to mind. But he's been very strong on not being defined by these type of behaviours. And I imagine from a senior player like Bernie, to have it happen again, he'd be absolutely filthy, wouldn't he?
Oh, he'd be frustrated. And my reading of it, Whitey, would be that he'd probably serve his 3 weeks and then come back through the VFL.
Yeah, it's
situation for Melbourne where they are at the moment, and the players.
They've got players back. They've got Jones ready to come back. The other one there is Viney, almost ready to come back from that plantar fascia.
That's pretty quick, isn't it?
Very quick. Yeah. He's actually running on it already.
Must have jumped off the chair, Robert Harvey style. Didn't
he? They went in surgically to do what Robert did off the chair. So they basically they went in and the doctors went rip, and ripped it off.
Just get a chair.
It's easy money, isn't it? Getting paid just to rip something and not actually repair it. So
he actually goes in the hospital and they tell him to stand on the bed and jump off. It's a lot easier way to do it.
Under medical supervision. Yeah.
So he's a chance to come back. Nathan Jones is pushing Jack Watts back this week. But they need it, Melbourne. Again, selling games up to Darwin, that's...
How many more years do they have of that? Do you know?
Another year next
year. Another
year. But seriously, that is a gift.
Big game this week.
Well, it's not a gift. We talked about this on Friday. You can't take on really good teams without your best players, your best squad out there. That's it highlighted it further for me on the weekend with Melbourne, that you've got players, quality players out, up against good teams. You can't win those games. It's too hard. It's too even.
Yeah, well, they did well to get through against Carlton with that limited side. But I want to put in that game on the agenda, Jaden Hunt.
Yeah, how good was the barrel?
I just hope, it probably won't even be goal of the week. That should be goal of the year, Jimmy. Forget these little dribblers and half fluky ones from the pocket. That was an absolute beauty.
Well, if the man on my right half is voting, Jaden Hunt wins goal of the year. He's number one ticket holder of the Jaden Hunt fan club.
He wins the Brownlow, wins the AFLPA MVP, he wins goal of the year, mark of the year. Everything that's on offer, he wins as far.
Favourite player in the competition for you?
Yeah, he is. He's the most exciting player.
He won't win goal of the year, though, will he? Because there's a perception that it has to be from a fluky one from an angle.
Well, he should get weight because it's a great skill to kick the torpedo.
Well, Lance Franklin's goal from 55 out on the boundary, big moment. I know it's just the drop punt set shot, but everything that it meant in that game was an unbelievable goal.
I'm going the torp.
Your boys, the Doggies, what's going on there? Injuries to Stringer?
Yeah, Stringer.
Clyde back?
Yeah, good to... Jimmy, you're reading the list. That's fantastic. We're down.
No,
the
I'm just talking about your Doggies. You tended to deflect off the Doggies.
No, I thought the Doggies were all right yesterday. They had their structure back. They really didn't look like losing that game after Carlton kicked the first three goals. I know that Whitey driving in was a little bit disappointed, but they're pretty happy inside the kennel with a lot that went on yesterday. Carlton really couldn't get their game going whatsoever. The backward handball and
The Bulldogs have got one issue, and that is their percentage. Because I was going through it last night. I reckon you need 12 wins to make the finals. And the Bulldogs have got to find a way to improve their percentage. So, yes, they were better. But this issue with their scoring is still a factor because they need to get their percentage up to 110, 115, I think, to be guaranteed of playing finals.
Well, I don't think it'll happen, Whitey. They're too far back from a percentage
that could cost them. That could cost them a spot in the finals.
Have you got a new favourite player? The debutant yesterday.
Yeah, Lewis Young. How good.
He's a favourite player for me with long sleeves.
Long sleeves on debut is a real statement as well.
Yeah,
and
another thing, it's courageous.
In Choco Royal's number as well. So there was two things to like about him. Nine marks. And
intercepts.
As well, just sort of floated through the air. A lot of talk about Josh Battle at St Kilda debuting as a schoolboy. This bloke, Lewis Young, played on Josh Battle a week earlier in the VFL. Took him to the cleaners and did it again today. So a low-key debut, far more low-key than Josh Battle, but he did a good job.
I just want to go back to the percentage situation with the Bulldogs. So the Bulldogs on 32 points at the moment. Their percentage is 94.2.
Yes.
Essendon on 32 points, percentage 108.
So you reckon 12 games? You need 12 games.
No, I think you need 12
and
plus
a good percentage.
They need 4 out of 6 is what we're saying.
Yeah.
So Essendon's percentage is a good advantage in that little pack.
Absolutely. You know, and even Melbourne, who are a game ahead, their percentage 106. And Sydney's percentage, a game ahead of the Bulldogs, is 113. Mm. So my point yesterday was I didn't think Carlton played particularly well. And I think the Bulldogs had an opportunity to win that game by 10 goals. And they've still got those forward line issues, which meant that they couldn't put it on the scoreboard. They're going to have to find 2 or 3 games where they can really score heavily to get their percentage up to 110, 115.
Well, they lost Stringer, which didn't help. So they were
it doesn't help.
On the forward line. Travis Cloke potentially back next week, Luke Beveridge said after the
playing game. Playing in Cairns.
Yeah.
Well, that's another
there
issue.
There you go,
I mean,
selling games. Talking about Melbourne before.
You're the reigning premier and you're selling games to Cairns. That just stinks. Because
but they weren't the reigning premier when they did this deal, were they?
No, I know, but they don't need to do that anymore. You can cop it now. You go up and you still beat Gold Coast in Cairns. But just imagine, Whitey's talking about percentage. Just imagine getting hold of Gold Coast at Etihad and getting the percentage. You could go to Cairns. It could be a tropical downpour.
Sweatbands out.
Sweatbands are out. It'll be 8-10 or something. Get them at Etihad. Selling games half is a nonsense.
Well, it's an unfortunate bottom line. It's commercial reality of Australian rules football for a lot of clubs.
But the Bulldogs don't need that. They just made two or three mil out of a premiership.
Yeah, but they weren't premiership contenders when they made that deal. So you just got to cop that for another couple of years. The round 19 clash against Essendon might be the clincher. So their grand final might be next week.
Yeah. That'll be a great
game. Because then they've got Gold Coast this week, Essendon the week after, then back at the Gabba against the Lions. So possibly 3. If they win those 3, they need 4, we're saying, to get and a good percentage to get in the finals. Then they've got the Giants, Port Adelaide and Hawthorn to finish the season. Mm. So that's going to be a tough finish.
Giants
that
he had, that fancy chances there. The Giants are really struggling in the way they're going about it. Port Adelaide, guess where that game is? It's the Bulldogs' home game.
Yes.
That's at MSB.
Ballarat.
Yeah.
So another solid.
I reckon they need 5 of 6.
Dogs have got 6 games left and 2 of them have sold. So hopefully they can get
think
over
the cash they'll be making though, Steve. Yeah. Footy department spend.
You prefer to play finals. But I think they'll win. I think they'll get their 4 wins at least.
Enough Bulldogs. Who will replace Simon Lethlane? We haven't even spoken about what was an extraordinary Friday.
Extraordinary. Mm. Still getting our heads around what happened there. And it was an emotional time at the AFL. It's rocked a lot of people within the league. Amit Bains, I've got on top of the list.
Good Amit, operator.
Your mate, Jimmy.
Very good operator. Yeah,
Jimmy's a big fan of Amit.
Well, he's just ticking all the boxes. He was basically offered the Hawthorne CEO job. Knocked that one back. Stayed at St Kilda. 2IC to Matt Finnis. He's done list management. Good connections throughout the AFL.
Legal background.
And a little bit of a different cat, if you know what I mean. He's not the normal footy head, old boy network sort of setup.
Could there be another change at St Kilda that Amit goes to CEO, Matty Finnis?
Yes, I was thinking that's exactly the same
well.
Thing.
Or does Ian Prendergast come back from the Rugby League Players Association after his role at the AFL Players Association to take over that
potential
type of role?
Or Nathan Buckley. Or, if he's looking for
his coaching still.
If.
Well, have you sacked him already?
No, I think it's unlikely that Nathan will be there as well as his coaching at the moment, half. And he would be ideal for that. But I like Amit Bains, somebody just out of the box. He's a different type of person and very highly rated. And Jimmy's nodding all the way through this.
Yeah, he is. Yeah. Just hear glowing reports about Amit Bains.
What is about that... Rodney Eade too? If he's very experienced as well.
So everyone's waiting on the first domino, aren't they? The music's about to start with all everyone looking for a chair, isn't it?
No, but I think what Jimmy says is really interesting because I think the music has started and I think there is a lot going on behind the scenes as we speak. And as you say, as soon as one falls, then the panic sets in.
Yes.
Steve Hocking, the other one.
Yes, he's
Jimmy would know very well. Yeah, obviously, I do know. No nonsense, no fuss type of guy.
No. Well, in that role, I guess Monday morning we were talking off air, Steve-O. Monday morning your phone's ringing from 18 annoyed footy managers and coaches and everyone's upset about something. So it's how you can handle relationships and that's what Steve Hocking does well.
I know we don't have a lot of time here. I want to throw a scenario at you. If Mark Evans threw a 5-year contract at Nathan Buckley, what does Collingwood do?
I say, have a great time, Bucks. You've been great. Because I don't think they could give that. They couldn't give that to Nathan Buckley.
No, not 5 years.
There's no way they could give that to Nathan Buckley.
No, I agree with you. But
so that's but thanks, Bucks. You've been great.
Yeah,
Not sure the AFL they hand out deals like that. It's just you come on board.
It's
like,
the AFL.
No, public service. He's talking Gold Coast.
I'm talking about Gold Coast.
Oh, I thought he said.
Yeah, Gold Coast.
Right. Gold Coast
to coach.
Oh, no.
No, the disdain in your voice.
Bucks would just say as well.
But there's something saying about the first domino. Someone will lure someone with a big deal,
and
which
all
will
go,
create a domino effect.
It's who is going to move first.
And it's happened before, so it'll happen again. Someone will make a bold first move.
It might be one we don't expect,
but someone, because I don't think Clarkson's going anywhere. So I think that it's now moving to, okay, Clarko's not going to do it. Who's next?
Speaking of the Magpies, quickly, Steve, before we let you go, Pendlebury's hand.
Sore hand, couldn't shake hands after the game. Had a scan yesterday, which a red flag for me, half. If you're going for a scan on a Sunday,
can't shake hands.
It's double time. They have to open it, which means it's serious.
No fist bumps.
I reckon you should have your own show, sort of like an RPA type
We're
setup.
Setting up a freelance arrangement. Yeah, it's called Steve-O. Scan TV.
Go to an ad break just when you get the results.
You should wear a white lab jacket, Steve-O.
Yes, and some glasses and some pens in the pocket.
Executive producer, I'll be. Tommy Brown, general manager.
Scan TV is coming your way, 26 to 8. Thank you, Steve-O. Great to chat with you. We'll catch up with you later in the week. Mark Stevens, the number one man in news in the world of AFL from Channel 7. We'll get to a break. Speaking of that break, Jim, after that, who does it say more about? The results on the weekend, have your say. 1300 652 927 on The Breakfast Club.